Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Aris Zukanayan.
Now, church, this morning I want to deliver the word of God, and I hope the word of God today will minister to you. And like what Pastor Meng has said, it is actually the June holidays already. And I hope that you guys are having a great time so far with friends and family members. Please, I want to encourage every one of you to take this time to rest and to recuperate from all the hustle and from all the busyness that probably you and I have been experiencing from the first 6 months of 2019. And how many of you can agree with me, 2019 has been going on so fast. Just in the twinkling of an eye, it's already the month of June. And before you know it, it's going to be Christmas again. Amen, right? So make sure that these June holidays, you catch up on your soul, and that you will play and pray so that you can be recharged for the second half of this year. Now, church, I cannot stress this enough, because it is very important that you and I are living out 3 John 2. What is 3 John 2? The Bible says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and also be in health." Because what is the point of being wealthy if you are not healthy? Now, it is important that you are prosperous and be in health, but the Bible says it is also equally important just as your soul prospers. Now, last week, Pastor Chuang encouraged us to pick up the stones of the first half of this year, to believe God that the second half of this year, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. He said that whatever things that have happened in the first half of this year, your losses, your failures, probably your defeat. Pastor Chuang last week encouraged us to pick up those failures, those stones, so that God can turn those stones into victories. He said, what has been lying dormant for decades, God can rebuild it in days. How many of you can say amen? Now today I want to pick up from where he left off last week. So last week, he asked all of us to pick up stones. This week, I am left to pick up his pieces. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Now, it is important that these June holidays that you and I must be recharged. Why? Because no amount of sleep can help if it is your soul or spirit that is tired. You know what, church? Sleep can only recharge your body. That's why if you come to church to sleep, you're at the wrong place. Hallelujah, right? Because church is a place where your soul and your spirit need to be recharged, not your body. Sleep can only recharge your body. But if your soul and spirit are tired, then what you need is more than just sleep. Your soul and your spirit needs to be infused with the anointing, with the power, and with the Zoe life of God. Now that's why I want to begin to you by reading Luke chapter 5 verse 12 to 16 in the NIV version. It says here in Luke 5, 12, 16, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. And he begged Jesus saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. And he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people come to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But look at verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Now, church, we all know very often Jesus will withdraw to lonely places. He will often withdraw to wilderness to pray and to seek God. But what is interesting as I begin to read all these occurrences in the gospel is that most of the time in the gospel, the timing of Jesus withdrawing himself to pray, it is always after he had a successful event. It is always after he had a successful ministry, he will often withdraw to pray. Now, church, over here in Luke 5, it was after he did a miracle of healing the leper. And also after crowds begin to gather more and more to hear him and to be prayed by him. Now, church, this is very unusual in our culture. Why? Because usually you and I, if we are having a big crusade coming up, and if we are going to have an evangelistic crusade, and if we're going to believe God for millions of people to come to hear the gospel, what we'll do is that usually we will pray before the big event. Who can say amen? We pray before for the big event so that the event will be successful. And after the event, especially after we see, you know, leprosy got healed, those who are paraplegic are able to stand up and walk again, and after we have seen millions of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will consider that a successful event, after the event, what do? We will usually party, not pray. Hallelujah. We pray before the event, and we will party after the successful event. But Jesus did it the other way around, right? In fact, the Bible says, after a successful event, he will often withdraw to pray. Now, it's very unusual. It's not the first time even. In Matthew 14, 22, again, it was after he performed the great miracle of feeding the 5,000 that he withdrew to pray. And the Bible says over here, right? Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Do you notice that he didn't go up to the mountain to party by himself with God and the Holy Spirit? He went to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there to pray. Again, in the book of John, when John was writing this occurrence in Luke chapter 5, John mentioned that Jesus' ministry grew more in popularity because of this miracle. And the crowd, upon seeing the miracle that Jesus performed, was convinced that he was the prophet that will liberate them from the Roman Empire. So they begin to push their agenda in order to want to make him king. And yet, when his popularity grew, just when momentum was on his side, instead of riding on the momentum, he stopped and he withdrew himself into solitude to pray to God. What does this teach us? Especially at this halftime in the month of June, as we are preparing for the second half. Listen, church, the lesson is this. Sometimes your greatest need for rest is not when you are feeling the lowest. Sometimes your greatest need for rest is after you are at your highest and most excited about your prospect in life. You know what, church? Sometimes your greatest need for rest is not when you are experiencing defeat. It's not when you are experiencing the lowest. But sometimes it is crucial to take some time off in the midst of a high momentum to withdraw yourself and to spend some time with God to pray. Listen, church, your greatest need for devotion is when you are actually feeling on top of the world. And even more so, especially after a great successful victory. Jesus often would withdraw to lonely places to pray, even when momentum was on his side, even when his popularity is riding high. Listen, church, momentum doesn't dictate his devotion. His devotion dictates momentum. Come on, give God a big round of applause. Hallelujah, right? What about you today as a believer, as a Christian? We believe that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or imagine. Amen? But church, make sure that you don't neglect your devotion. Make sure that you don't neglect prayer. Make sure that you are doing it in partnership with the Holy Spirit. You know what? Very often in June, like what Pastor Chuang shared last week, we will always take this opportunity to encourage you at halftime. We always said this, June is halftime. Amen, right? Some of you maybe had a terrible first half of 2019 and you are feeling discouraged right now. You are feeling low right now. But don't be discouraged because it's only halftime. Halftime is when you can regroup, recharge, and you and I can re-strategize to be ready for the second half of the year for the turnaround and for a comeback. Who can say amen? Now, usually, when we preach sermons in the month of June, it's always like this. It's to encourage those of you who are experiencing bad times in the first half of the year. But church, as much as these people are important to be encouraged, it is also important to also encourage the other opposite group of people. The opposite is also important. Sometimes, beginning of this year, you are already very successful. You have too much going on in this first half. And you are so successful. You are riding high. Your momentum is going on well. That sometimes you will forget to spend some devotion time with the Lord. You are on a good, nice momentum. Everything that you do turns to gold. You have the Midas touch. And maybe some of you young people, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you, right? Oh, pastor, you know, I'm not working. So I don't understand what it means when my momentum is riding high. The first half has always been boring. Go to school, go home. Go to school, go home. Amen, right? Go tuition, that's it. I don't understand what it means, right? Where I have bonuses. You know what? When I have promotion, when everything is riding high, when my stocks is going up, when things are doing well in my life, I don't understand. Listen, young people, it also applies to you. When things are going well, when finally you get your girlfriend that you wanted, hallelujah, amen, right? And then, you know what? Your popularity is riding high. You're doing well in school. People like you. People in cell group now regards you as CGC. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? When things are going well, your prayer is powerful. You know what? Your popularity is like, woohoo. Hallelujah. Listen, church, you are on a good, nice momentum. But the danger is this. Don't wait for a crisis to happen in order for you to stop and rest to pray. While you are on a momentum, you got to keep on praying and preserving your devotion time with the Lord. Be intentional to take a break to pray even while you are on a good momentum. Don't wait until the momentum stops, then you pray. Devotion must dictate momentum. Momentum cannot dictate our devotion. Come on, give God a big hand. Hallelujah, right? You see, church, why is it that I'm preaching like this in this first half of in this month of June? Because church, let me tell you this, the danger is this. Defeat is draining, but victory can be deceiving. Now, when you're experiencing defeat, it drains you. It causes you to be discouraged. It causes you to lose your faith in God. But the opposite is equally dangerous. Because victory can be deceiving. And at both times, we need to pray and seek God in defeat, but especially after a victory. Why? Because outside, you may feel victorious. Outside, things may be going on well for you. Outside, things are on a good, nice momentum. But victory can be deceiving because it can deceive you from failing to see that actually inside some areas of your life are actually rotting or deteriorating. Because sometimes our victory in public is used by us to mask our failures in private. When you and I are experiencing victories, there is a tendency that you will use blessing or victory, right, to become the standard of God's approval in your life. Listen, church, blessing is not God's standard of approval. Holiness is God's standard of approval. Righteous living is God's standard of approval. And between where you come from to where you want to be, God is more concerned is how you get there. God is more concerned in your character than in your talent. God is more concerned in your spiritual life than the blessing that comes out of the spiritual life. Church, never let your victory in the marketplace justify your failure at home. Never let your victory in the marketplace justify your failure in your spiritual life. And many people, if we are not careful, we will use victories as standards of righteousness. We will use blessings as standards of God's approval over my life. But City Harvest Church, can I tell you this? God loves you the way you are, whether you are poor or whether you are rich. But if you remain righteous and stay faithful in God, if you live a holy living, let me tell you, you may be poor today, but you will not stay poor forever. Come on, give God a big round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Amen. Never let your victory in the marketplace justify your failure at home. And the danger is that if you don't occasionally withdraw yourself to pray, to get back to your devotion, success can create in me a faith that makes God unnecessary. And God, how many of you know, everything that we do in life, it is all because of God's kindness and goodness over our life. And that's why this coming June, don't just keep on riding high and think that everything will go on well. Listen, spend some time in the month of June to withdraw to lonely places to pray. Spend some time in the month of June to get back again deeper in devotion with God. Spend some time in the month of June to get yourself again soaked in the power of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, and get back again into your walk with God so that in the second half of this year, you're going to continue riding high on that momentum. Come on, give God a big round of applause. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Withdraw from the busyness of life. Withdraw from success for a while to spend some time to pray. Why? Pastor, why? Today I want to share with you 2 points only. Hallelujah, right? Since it's June holidays. Amen, right? So we keep it short and sweet. Point number one, why must we withdraw to pray? Why must we spend some time for our devotion? Number one, because it's not about doing more. It's about can you handle one more? Because it's not about doing more. It is about, can you handle one more? Now, back to Luke chapter 5, the opening verse that I used just now. You see, the leper came to Jesus, asking Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, please make me clean. Now, it's a very interesting question to ask Jesus. I mean, if you ask me, I will certainly say, maybe I'm not so willing. Hallelujah. Amen, right? But if you ask Jesus, this is the Son of God, the healer of all diseases and sickness. How many of you know that Jesus will always want to heal us from all our sicknesses and diseases? Lord, if you are willing, please make me clean. Very interesting request. Why wouldn't Jesus be willing? Why would the leper even ask such a question? Now, listen, when I was reading this verse, and as I was meditating upon this verse, suddenly this verse speaks a lot to my life. And this verse really blessed me a lot, especially for me as a pastor. So, I want to give you the example. So, I'm not using this verse, and let's not debate hermeneutics, hallelujah, amen, right? Today, I want to share with you how this verse really blessed me as I begin to read this verse and meditate upon this verse, because it's Luke chapter 5. It's part of your Bible reading program. Y'all know, right? Hallelujah, right? Y'all know this is part of the Bible reading program, right? Amen, right? So, if you bother to read, God will speak. But if you don't bother to read, God will not speak. Right? Because God speaks through His words. So spend some time to read the Bible reading program. Hallelujah, right? So Luke chapter 5, as I was reading this, right? This suddenly applies to my life as a pastor. Now, listen. You know, when this leper came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Jesus, if you're willing, please heal me. You know what? It's almost like me as a pastor. After a full day of counseling and talking in Starbucks, from 9 a.m., you have counseling appointments from 9 a.m. all the way until 5 p.m. And how many of you know, if you have back-to-back counselings, talking non-stop from 9 to 5, drinking 10 cups of coffee from then on, in between, right? How many of you know, not only your teeth will get yellow, hallelujah, right? By 5 p.m., after you have finished counseling the last person, your mouth already have started foaming. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Your heads will start spinning. And just when you're about to call it a day and stand up from the chair and about to leave Starbucks, suddenly a member dropped by and saw you. And he show up crying in front of you and say, Pastor, I'm so glad that I find you today here in Starbucks. I know you must be tired, Because you always preach about this in service. Hallelujah. Amen, right? I know you must be tired. And I know that you have been talking nonstop the whole day. But today is a bad day for me. Pastor, if you are willing, can you please spare another 2 hours to listen to my problems and pray for me? Now, church, as a pastor, you know, what is the 10-year series answer to this kind of question? Hallelujah, amen, right? As a pastor, you know what you should do? You should say what? I am willing. But the problem is this, like Jesus, I am willing, but my spirit is willing, but my body is very unwilling. And if your body is very unwilling, it will come to a point where your spirit will keep on working, but your body stops working. And that's where you have a breakdown. And that's where you have a burnout. Now, that's why, church, it is not about doing more. It is about, can you handle one more? And that's the thing. At this point, after a long day, fighting fire throughout the day, you finally come home from office, wanting to have peace, quiet, and rest. Right? And want to watch the Champions League that night. But your wife suddenly tells you, can you please talk to your son right now? He was caught smoking in school. You know what? That's it, right? All throughout the day, you're feeling pressure. All throughout the day, you are so tired, fighting fires after fires after fires. And you come home feeling tired. And the last thing that you wanted to do at home is to fight another fire. And there it is. Your son was caught smoking in school. And guess what? Instead of counseling him, instead of helping him, talking to him, what do? You berated him. And at the end of the day, what happens? It's not that you don't love him. We all can afford to love. But it is about the ability. You have no more capacity. And worse, when you watch at night, your favorite team lost in Champions League. That's it. And you know what? Things like that will cause people to do stupid things. Like what? Like smashing the TV. Hallelujah. Throwing the TV off the HDB block. Hallelujah. Amen, right? And they will do crazy things. Why? Because it's not about doing one more thing. It's about this person cannot handle another problem. You see, it's not about whether you can or want to do more. But sometimes if you're not careful, it's not that you are not capable. It's just that you have no more capacity. Here's the lesson. What is the purpose that Jesus often withdrew to pray? It's not that he was incapable to pray and heal the sick. Because how many of you know, power is always upon him. And it's not that he needed to increase anointing. Because listen, he is 100% God and he is 100% human. And being 100% God, what is his name? Jesus Christ, the anointed one. That means what? I don't think Jesus' anointing fluctuates every day. You think that Jesus' anointing fluctuates? Monday, it drops down to 10%. Tuesday, he needs to bring it up to 50%. And only on Good Friday, it's operating at 100%. No. Being 100% God as the anointed one, I think that Jesus' anointing doesn't fluctuate. He is always ready to release his power. But being 100% human, his body will fluctuate. He will feel tired. And occasionally he will experience fatigue and tiredness. That's why it is not about doing more. Because the anointing is always upon him. But it is about, can you handle one more? Because it's not about capability. But it is about capacity. That's why it's not about more power that you need sometimes. But it is about more capacity that you need to be enlarged. It is so that you can have more capacity to be compassionate again, to pray for one more person who is in need, to solve one more problem that surfaces, to attend to one issue that comes along your way. And it's true, isn't it? When you are overwhelmed with busyness,
another little issue that surfaced can become a big problem for you to solve. A small complaint about church, you will take it very personally and make it a personal attack on you. A simple prayer request will become another heavy burden for you to attend to. And church, if you're not careful, it will accumulate and it will accumulate and it will reach a boiling point and you will shout and scream to everyone that you love and say, I don't want to see nor hear another person or another problem again. I'm out of here. I call it quits. Don't do that. Because it's not about having more capability. It is about God wanting to enlarge your capacity so that you can handle one more, so that you can pray for one more person. Come on, give God a big round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Because it's not just so that he can get himself connected again to the source of power, but so that he will have always more room inside his heart to contain one more person, to bless one more person, to save one more person, to hear all our prayers one more time. Listen, church, every single day, Jesus is our heavenly advocate. He is our intercessor in heaven, praying on behalf of for you and me. Can you imagine? There are billions of people in this world praying to God every day, giving to him all our burdens. Listen, church, as a pastor, I can't even take one more burden, you know. But Jesus is taking all our burdens upon him. And yet, none of these burdens that we give to him cause him to fall off from his throne. Hallelujah, right? Cause him to burn out. Why? Because he is constantly praying. He is constantly attached to the source of all power, and that is God himself. He often withdrew to pray. He never neglect his devotion time because he has the heart and the capacity to handle all our problems in Jesus' name. What a great advocate we have in Jesus. Come on, give Jesus a big hand. You know what, church? Recently in the Straits Times, it was reported that finally WHO recognizes burnout as an illness. It makes me wonder, what have they been thinking all these years? Hallelujah, amen, right? And burnout, he says, is a common problem here in Singapore. And he said, Singaporeans are among most stressed at work globally. And church, we burn out not because we have run out of capabilities or abilities. Singaporeans are the most capable people in the world. Singaporeans are the most able people in the world. You guys are the most technologically advanced country in the world. You guys are first world. I mean, not you guys, we. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, right? Because I'm married to a Singaporean. Hallelujah. Amen, right? We are the most capable people in the world. We are the most able people in the world. We are the most technologically advanced. We are the most equipped with the current set of tools to become more successful than most nations in the world. And yet, right here, we have the most number of people who are stressed and experiencing burnout. Why? Because we burn out. Not because we have run, we burn out because we have run out of space in our heart to accommodate people anymore. Even though we are able, well, but we have no more heart to do our work. Even though we have the capability, we have no more feelings to do our activities. And that's why we need to withdraw to pray. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you need to withdraw to pray. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell them, don't neglect your devotion. Why? Because when we pray and when we devote our time to God, He enlarges our capacity. So that our heart will be enlarged, so large that we can love again when we feel that we cannot love anymore. He enlarges our heart so that we can accommodate again even when we cannot accommodate anymore. Listen, church, Ephesians 3:16-19 says this, that according to the riches of the Father's glory, He wants to grant you to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit. Where? In your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants to enlarge your capacity. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus made prayer and devotion a habit, that his heart was so enlarged. His heart was so big that he's able to contain the whole world's sin upon himself, took it upon himself, and saved you and me. And that's why you and I can be here experiencing the grace of God that he has bought and purchased with his blood. His heart was so enlarged because he made prayer, solitude with God, a habit. Listen, church, you know how big Jesus' heart was or is? Let me show you. Luke 23, verse 39, 43. Jesus' heart was so enlarged that even at the point of his death, you see his bigness of heart. You see his largeness of heart. You see Luke 23, verse 39, 43. He says what? While hanging on the cross, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself." Now, church, this is Jesus hanging on the cross. He's about to die. He is gasping for air, breathless. Now, church, let me tell you, right? If you are a person like Jesus, already hanging on the cross, about to die, basically, you are at your wit's end. Amen, right? Two things that will accelerate your demise. Hallelujah, right? Two things that will accelerate your death. You know what are they? The first one, insults. If you're already going through problems, if you're already feeling low, let me tell you what are the two things that will cause you to go lower. Number one is insults. And when a person insults you, when you are feeling the lowest, I tell you, your heart cannot contain anymore. You will certainly burst out and you will certainly get angry and probably do some stupid things. Don't do that. Now, insult. But there is another thing. The other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. You are hanging on the cross, about to die. And here you have a person that is insulting you so that you can die faster." Hallelujah. Amen, right? But thank God there is another guy on the other side who stand up for you and said, "Guys, don't you see? Our pastor is already very tired, you know. Don't bother him anymore." But just when you thought that this person is very, very, very concerned about you, the Bible said, then he said to Jesus, "But Lord, please remember me when you come into the kingdom." Hallelujah, right? That means what? There are two things, actually. When you are already feeling burnout, that will accelerate your burnout. Right? What is that? Number one is insult. Number two is what? Insensitivity. When people just keep on asking you to do things, knowing that you are already feeling low. And it's just exactly what happened over here. Now listen, if you are a leader, right, and a member insult you, you're already wanting to call it quits. And one member keep on insulting you, okay lah, that's fine lah. I mean, it's part and parcel, right, of being a Christian, right? Amen, right? But what will cause you to go even further, go lower even further, is when members don't even realize, all right, that you are actually going through problems yourself. You see, if I were Jesus, right, can you imagine one person, "Jesus, don't die first. Before you die, please pray for me so that make sure that I can get my Mercedes Benz." Hallelujah, amen, right? "Jesus, don't die first. Don't. I need to get my Mercedes Benz." Hallelujah, right? "Please pray for my house." You know what? If I were Jesus, I would look at the guy and I would gin him, right? Amen, right? I would roll my eyes. I wouldn't even want to bother to answer this guy. And I would tell him, "Hey, bro, don't you see that I'm dying already, like, amen, right? Spare some thought for me." Do you think Jesus did that? Let me tell you, man. His heart was so big. His heart was so enlarged. You know what he said in verse 43? Jesus looked at him and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Wow. Even when he is going through the lowest moment of his life, his heart, his capacity was so big that he could afford to save one more person into the kingdom of God. What a great Savior we serve. You know what, friends? Not only that, do you remember just before he died, he even looked at his mother and he told John, John, from today onwards, please make sure you take care of my mother. And from then on, John took Mary as his own mother. Just before he died, not only he bothered to win one more person to the kingdom of God, just before he died, he even bothered to care for his own mother being, well-being, and to ensure that she is well taken care of. What a great Savior we serve. A Jesus whose heart is so big and enlarged that even at the point of his death, he still bothered to save people. He still bothered to care for one more person. Because it's not about doing more. It is about, can you handle one more? Come on, Sunday morning service. Give God a big hand. Hallelujah. It's not about capability only, but it is about capacity. It is not about having more anointing, but it's about, do you have one more vessel to let the anointing flow? Because remember what Elisha said, the anointing will keep on flowing until there is no more vessel. The power of God is on you. The anointing of God is flowing to you. But if you have no more vessel to contain the anointing, that's where you begin to experience burnout. When you have no more capacity, you will run out of engine. You will run out of energy. You will run out of oil. And when you have run out of oil, you cannot travel even any longer. That's why, can you accommodate one more prayer request? Another small issue coming your way. Make sure this June, you spend some time to withdraw, to pray, to devote yourself again in the Lord so that God can enlarge your heart, so that God can enlarge your thinking, so that God can enlarge your spirit, so that you can handle one more. One more, one more, and one more. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a big hand. Point number one, it's not about doing more, but it's about, can you handle one more? Point number two, why is it that you need to withdraw to pray? Because God wants to do something new. Turn to your neighbor and tell her, God wants to do something new in you. You know what, church? At a time when Jesus' popularity was rising and riding high, and the crowd was pushing him to become king, the Bible says he stopped and he went away to pray. He withdrew to pray. Now, church, why would you want to stop when you are on a high? People say, strike while the iron is hot. Who can say amen? Why do you want to keep on doing? Why do you want to stop when you are on a high? Why do you want to stop after a successful event? Why do you want to stop after a resounding successful result from your effort and from your work? Why? Now, church, listen to this very carefully. Because sometimes, after you have tasted success, you will want to repeat the success by repeating the same method and the way that lead you to that success. And the danger is this. The more we experience success, the more dependent we are on continual success to feel validated. Listen, if we're not careful, right? Success can become our source of validation. If we're not careful, we will always strive to be successful again and again and again in order for us to feel validated. And the thing is this, it's dangerous because it is a trap and it is a very draining cycle for you and I. Why? Somebody said this to me and I really was very blessed. He said this, a praise testimony today can turn into a pressure opportunity tomorrow for God to do it again in your life. Just because God bless you and you have tremendous success today does not mean that God will do the same thing again in your life. Listen, church, God will repeat the success, but He will never repeat the methods. But we as Christians, as believers, Because we see the results, we tend to repeat the methods. And upon repeating the same methods, expecting the same success, we don't get it. Why? Because God is a God of new things. He never repeats the same method twice. Revival does not come the same way in every generation. For every generation requires new thinking, new approach, new strategies for this current generation. Hallelujah. Amen, right? How many of you can say amen? Amen? Listen, church, a praise testimony today can turn into a pressure opportunity tomorrow for God to do it again in your life. What used to be a testimony that brings glory and praise to God becomes a pressure for you and I to do it again. And if God doesn't do it again for you, you get frustrated. You get angry. You get disappointed. And because you get disappointed, what do? You run out of steam. You begin to draw away from the faith. And that's why, just because someone come up here on stage to share a testimony, right? Ezekiel, oh, today, you know, I was a drug dealer and God rescued me. And today, I am a somebody. You say, wow, if God can do it with this person, God can do it with me. It's correct. But the way He does it in Ezekiel's life will be different from the way He's going to do it in your life. Does not mean that you also have to become a drug dealer. Hallelujah, right? And here we are. And we hear people coming up on stage giving testimony. You know what, Pastor? Praise the Lord. You know what? Last year in our building fund, I only give $1. And God gave me $1 million. Woo! Hallelujah! So you keep on giving $1. And you don't get the $1 million. And you get angry with God. And yet the other extreme, you hear people, you know what? I choose to trust God. As I was praying, an angel appeared before me and told me that I need to give $10,000. But praise the Lord, it was my last $10,000. And then as I gave it, I was shaking. You know, right? I was shaking with tears and with hands shaking. And I gave it away to the Lord. And God blessed me, $10 million. And everybody say, oh, wow, yes. Do you have $10,000? Right now, I want to give right now. Do you have $10,000? I don't have. Can I borrow from you $10,000? Amen, hallelujah, right? Because I also want to get $10 million. So you borrow $10,000 to give to God so that you can get $10 million. Let me tell you, your praise testimony today can become a pleasure opportunity for you, for God to do it again in your life. Because the way God will bless you will be different the way God blessed this person. How many of you can say amen? Amen. That's why when you come to church, don't leave your brain at home. Amen. Pray, seek God, and ask God, God, do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You see, that's the thing. Because God is a God of new things. God always wants to do something new in your life. Come on, give God a big round of applause. Hallelujah, right? Listen, church, when we keep repeating the old methods of the past, and expecting the same results like last time, we can be trapped in a cycle of frustration and fatigue. That's why so many Christians are getting tired and frustrated, because they are repeating past methods, expecting the same results. Why? Because God wants to do something new in your life. You are still stuck in the past. God is already doing something new. And as long as we are still trapped in past nostalgia, we can never be released into the new that God has prepared for us. City Harvest Church, as long as we are still trapped in past nostalgia, He cannot release the new in our life. That's why on the day of Pentecost, God sent His Holy Spirit to bring us new visions and dreams. Come on, give God a big hand. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Listen, Sunday morning service, Two things that are dangerous to progress. Number one is novelty. Number two is nostalgia. Two things that are dangerous to progress. Number one is novelty. Number two is nostalgia. Novelty is dangerous because it makes you lose your identity in the name of change or being current. Novelty causes you to lose your identity. Nostalgia is equally dangerous because nostalgia causes you to fail to see what needs to be changed today when it is no longer relevant. Two things that are dangerous to progress: novelty and nostalgia. Novelty will cause you to lose your identity in the name of change. Nostalgia will cause you to fail to see what needs to be changed today when it is no longer relevant. And that's why, if you forget what I've just preached this whole entire morning, please don't forget this statement that I'm about to make. Because you need to pray. You need to spend some time to God. Why? Because prayer causes you to differentiate the new from the novelty and nostalgia. Come on, Sunday morning service, right? I'm going to let that sink that to in your spirit just a while. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Prayer will cause you to differentiate the new from the novelty and the nostalgia. God never wants to do something new for the sake of doing something new. That is novelty. God never repeats old methods of the past to create the same results. That is nostalgia. But God always does something new and bring forth a better results for our life. Hallelujah. Amen, right? And in order for us to differentiate, in order for us to align our spirit, our thinking, and our mindset to the new things that God is doing in our life, you need to withdraw. You need to pray. You need to seek God. Isaiah 43 verse 19, we know this verse by heart, and we always quote this whenever we want to introduce a new season that God is doing in our life. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But church, if you look at this verse in the Message version, it's going to be even clearer for you to see the new things that God is doing in your life. I want to take you to Isaiah 43 verse 16, 21 from the Message version to show you. Because what God is doing in you is a new thing. But the problem is that we cannot see it. And because we cannot see it, we keep repeating all past methods. And in doing so, we get frustrated. And in doing so, we get frustrated and tired. And when we get tired, we get fatigued. And when we are fatigued, we burn out. Now, Isaiah 43 verse 16, 21 in the Message, he says here, this is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through the pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies, they lie down and then can't get up. They are snuffed out like so many candles. This is what God is saying to the children of Israel and say, this is what I used to do. I used to build a road right through the ocean. I carve a path through pounding waves. And I make your enemies can't get up. And I snuff them out by the power of my spirit. And every one of them are destroyed. This is what I used to do. But look at what he said. Continue in that verse. But he told them, listen, this is what I used to do. But now, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over all history. Be alert. Be present. What is that? Prayer. Pray. When you pray, you will be alert. When you pray, you will be present. When you pray, you will not get stuck in the past. When you pray, you will not be brought forward by novelty. How many of you can say amen? When you pray, you become alert. When you pray, you become present into what God is doing with you right now. That's why today, listening to the sermon, be present. Be present. Wake up. Hallelujah, right? Don't get stuck in the past. Don't keep on reminiscing. It's Liverpool Champions League 6 times. Keep on talking about it. It's the past. Right? Don't keep on repeating the same old methods, the same old ways. Be present, be alert, pray. Why? Why? Why must you pray? Why must you be alert and present? Because I'm about to do something new. It's not new. Brand new. You know what's brand new? You have not seen it ever before. People have not even encountered it. You have never seen it before. You have never experienced it before. You have never thought about it before. This method is completely brand new. Something that have never been done before. Brand new. If things have already been done before and repackage it, that is not brand new. That is an upgrade. Or worse, some people are only doing counterfeit things. Hallelujah. Grade A products. Listen, don't do that. Because God wants or is already doing something new inside you. New design, new strategy, new approach to your life, to ministry, to your career, to your business, to your product design. Everything. Brand new. Completely brand new. New visions, new wisdom. And he says, well, it's bursting out. Don't you see it? You know, God is trying to tell you today, don't you see it? Guys, I'm doing something new in you. Don't you see it? But if you don't see it, you will keep on be reminded of the past. You will keep on going back again to the past. And as long as you keep on going to the past, it will always hinder to what God is doing something new inside of you. New career. Something new. Listen. He says what? There it is. Where? There it is. There it is. Where? I'm making a road through the desert. I'm making a rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say thank you, and the coyotes and the buzzards. Do you see what he's saying over here? He's trying to tell the children of Israel. He said, I used to build a road through the ocean. I used to create a path through the ocean wave. I used to paralyze the enemies and make them snuff out. But now I'm doing something new. You got to see it. Where? See, I'm now building a road through the desert, not through the ocean. I'm now creating rivers in the dry land, not path in the ocean. I'm right now giving you victory and deliverance in your warfare, not by destroying the enemies, but by making them friendly so that you can negotiate with them and obtain peace agreement. That is also another form of victory. But if you read it in a glance, you won't see what God is doing. When you read Isaiah 43 in a glance, you won't be able to see it in a glance. You won't be able to see it. It's almost similar to what God is doing, used to do, and what He is doing right now. But if you are alert, if you choose to withdraw, if you choose to be present, and if you choose to devote yourself time to pray, suddenly God will open your eyes and see, oh, that's it. There is a difference. God is doing something new. Hallelujah. What about City Harvest Church? God is doing something new. God is doing something new. What about you individually as a person this year in 2019? Do you know since 2019, January 1st, God is already working Himself in you to create something new inside of you? But you need to see it. You need to open your eyes. Because like what we said before, the greatest hindrance to see the harvest is not the harvest, but it is your perspective about the harvest. Because the greatest problem that you and I experience in life in order to be blessed is not about how to get the blessing, but it is about your perspective, how you see God blesses you. And if you can be alert, and if you can be present today, God is going to open your eyes. That's why this week, we use this song. Jesus, give me vision. Give me wisdom. Because I want to see what you are doing in my life. Because He is always doing new things inside of us. Come on, hallelujah, amen. I want the musicians to just come up right now. City Harvest Church, prayer causes our eyes to be open to the new. To the new that God wants to do in our life. But City Harvest Church, to explore the new, the old must be left behind. It means leaving earlier levels of achievements, accomplishments, old relationships, so that you can grow into new ones. City Harvest Church, it's difficult to explore the new and to release the past. Why? Because you are entering into uncharted territories. You do not know what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen. Full of uncertainties. Much can go wrong. Hurt, failures, rejection, being deceived, betrayal lurks. But City Harvest Church, without risking these perils, there can only be a repetition of old patterns and routinization of old comforts. And if we are constantly repeating old patterns and routinization of old comforts, there will come a day where it bears forth no fulfillment, nothing, and you will feel tired and you will burn out. But if you can be alert and be present and get into God's program of doing a new thing in our church, in our life, new life will come into our being. Holy Ghost will come again into our life. Who can say amen, right? That's why Ed Cole says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. No wonder so many Christians today are losing their mind. No wonder so many believers today are going insane. Why? Because they keep repeating old methods. They keep holding on to the past and not wanting to release the past for God to do something new in their life. Church, you need to detach yourself from the old. And the word detachment sometimes is such a terrible word that we don't like to use. But detachment is not loss. It doesn't mean you lose the relationship. It doesn't mean you lose those past accomplishments. Detachment is neither disloyalty. It doesn't mean that you are not loyal. But detachment is a precondition for fresh creativity. You need to be willing to separate yourself from the past for God to do something new. So many Christians are frustrated. And frustration is when you keep holding on to the good long after the good has ceased to be good for us. Frustration is when you keep on holding on to the good when the good has ceased to be good for us. You know what you need to do? Let go and let God. God has something new for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to end by saying this. I want everybody to stand up on your feet. You know, we're going to sing this song again. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. Give me wisdom. Now, church, I want to tell you, please, don't just take this message and just go home and enjoy your holiday and just play again. Guys, really, I want to encourage you, take this time in the month of June to pray, to have a time of devotion with God. Because God is doing something new in your life. The Bible says in Psalms 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Somebody say with me, be still. Somebody say it one more time, be still. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, be still, don't move, be still. Hallelujah, amen, right? Be still. When you are still, you will know that He is God. When you are moving, you are hurried. You want to go quick, amen, right? You know what you do? When you are still, you will know God. The word know is the same word where God used in Genesis. Adam knew his wife. is a bold metaphor that speaks about sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife. When a husband and a wife comes into intimacy together, you see, being still is a prerequisite to intimacy. When you are hurried, when you are always busy, you cannot be intimate with God. But if you are willing to be still, you can know God. You can be one together with Him. And you know, when you are one with God, when a husband comes into sexual intimacy with his wife, you know what will happen? It brings forth fresh creativity. You will give birth to a child. A child is totally different. There is not one Aris in this whole wide world. I can never go to Orchard Road and find the same Aris, hallelujah, who supports the same club, who likes the same food, have the same fingerprint, have the same nationality. No way. There is only one. Brand new. That's how it is. When you come to know God, when you are one with God in June, you know what will happen to you? Out of your being flow fresh creativity. Things that you have never thought before. New designs, new approach, new way of doing things for your life. Because this world has so many unsolved problems. And we are trying to solve today's problem with yesterday's thinking. New generation requires new thinking. New revival requires new strategies and new approach. It can only come when you are one with Jesus. When you are one with God. Amen? I want to encourage you, this second half of this year, God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or imagine. Amen. Let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. You know what? I want to end by reading this last verse, right? And then after that, we immediately go to the chorus. I mean, immediately go to the intro and then sing. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Right? I want to read to you this last verse. When Jesus healed, interestingly, after Luke chapter 5, Jesus went on and prayed for this man who was lowered down from the rooftop. And this man got healed and instantly he walked out and he started to walk again. Look at what the crowd say in Luke 5:22-26. He now speaks directly to the paraplegic. Get up, take your bedroll and go home. Without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, took his blanket, left for home, giving glory to God all the way. And look at what the people did. The people, upon seeing the miracle, rubbed their eyes, incredulous, and then gave glory to God. They were all awestruck, and they all said, "We have never seen anything like this before. We have never seen it." Hallelujah. Amen, right? I want to come to a day in the month of December where you will look back at this year and you will be awestruck. And you will say, "I have never thought God can do it this way in my life." Amen. Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. That's what I want to see. Amen. Why don't we all lift up our hands to heaven? Just begin to pray right now in the spirit. Come on. Let's begin to pray in the spirit for a while. Come on, let's begin to pray. Holy Ghost, give us visions, give us dreams, give us wisdom for my current generation. All together now, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Lift up your hands and worship Him. You know, Holy Spirit, come. Open my eyes to see.
Friends, eyes are closed and heads are bowed. You know what? Today, maybe some of you are experiencing no breakthrough in your current problems. But friends, maybe you have been applying the same old methods to try to solve today's problem. But today, the Lord is speaking to you. If you are willing to get into my story and you are willing to let go of your control and let God show you His ways rather than our ways, God is going to do something new inside of you. But friends, it requires of you to let go of the past. It requires of you to detach yourself from all familiar methods. It requires faith, not fear. And today, if that is you, God is going to release His anointing upon you. And this June, God is going to release His vision, wisdom. If you need vision, if you need wisdom from God, Holy Spirit has been poured out upon our life. And He wants to give us fresh vision, fresh wisdom for today's current generation. If that is your want to lift up your hands to heaven, that's right. Father, you see those hands that are lifted up. Holy Spirit, right now, come upon them. Some of you, Lord, see, open their eyes to see new visions of designs, new visions of what you can do for them. New visions of their company, new visions of strategies, of approach, new career. Some of you here in this place, you are at a crossroad of your career and you are afraid. Today, don't be afraid, says the Lord. Let go of the past and let Jesus take you. God is doing something new inside of you. That's right. Let's begin to lift up our hands. If that is you and you say, Jesus, give me vision, give me wisdom. Pray. If anyone lacks wisdom, you can ask God, give me wisdom, give me vision, so that I can see a new church, a new breakthrough, a new way of reaching out to my current generation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
If you believe that, let's give Jesus a big hand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just open up your hands and just receive from the Lord. I want you to say this prayer together with me. Jesus,
Jesus,
give me vision.
Give me vision.
Give me dreams.
Give me dreams.
Give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
So that I can solve.
So that I can solve.
Today's problem.
Today's problems.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To detach.
To detach.
From the past.
From the past.
From old methods.
From old methods.
And bring me into the new.
Bring me into the new.
Into what you're doing in my life.
Into what you're doing in my life.
So open my eyes.
So open my eyes.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
And now everybody say, let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Amen.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at connect@chc.org.sg.